Hey, Nick, did you hear that Improv Schmimprov is going to be at the Brea Improv?
What?
For real?
Really?
Tuesday, August 16th.
You mean where Rob Schneider performed last night?
Not only where Rob Schneider performed, but where you've seen other things like Pablo Francisco.
And Jay Moores?
Jay Moores, too! You may remember last year when we did it a few times, and they liked it so much they wanted us back. Tuesday, August 16th at 8 p.m. You know how much tickets cost?
It must be $100 a ticket.
You'd think, right? But
right?
No, they're only charging
$5. $5?
It's like a regular Schmimprov show, but earlier in the evening, a bigger bar, and they don't let in the crappy little kids.
A bigger bar?
Let me in.
Amber, you can't come in yet.
Why not?
It's not till Tuesday, August 16th.
But I want a drink.
Well, you'll have to buy your own until August 16th.
Let me at the beer.
Well, you heard, Amber. You too can get at the beer Tuesday, August 16th at 8 p.m. for only $5 at the Brea Improv on Brea Boulevard, right next to the Birch Street Promenade.
It's a plan. I'll see you there.
You are listening to
Schmimcast,
a behind-the-scenes look at Improv Schmimprov, Orange County's most popular late-night comedy show. For the latest episodes of please visit Schmimcast.com. To email us with your questions, comments, and requests, please shoot an email to
Schmimcast
at AOL.com. You can also hit us up at Twitter at Twitter.com/Schmimcast. And of course, you can always come see Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. at the Maverick Theater in Fullerton, California. For information on upcoming Improv Schmimprov shows, please visit ImprovSchmimprov.com or check out our Facebook, Facebook.com/ImprovSchmimprov. And now, this show must go, so... What? And now, this show must go, so on with the show!
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
What the hell is going on, ladies and gentlemen? How the hell are you? What the hell? What the fuck? It's Improv Schmimprov Schmimcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Nicholas McGee. We have a fantastic episode coming up for you, ladies and gentlemen. Another favorite of Improv Schmimprov, the comedic sensation. He is the always hilarious and sometimes shocking. A man who barely escaped death while at the same time won the first round of Schmimprov's March Madness. He won the second round while recovering in absentia and nearly won the finals while insanely over-medicated. He is a mogul who gets stopped at airports by the TSA, but only because he is such a badass. He moved right next door to Improv Schmimprov's warehouse just to be closer to the place where he performs comedy for you every Friday and Saturday night. It's the highly skilled improver that has an infinitely impossible last name, Donish Noshirvan.
Oh, that's good. You got
Did
it.
Did I get it?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. You got it.
It was on because I was
that
like... Was,
no, that was good. That you got it. That's sweet. Better than anyone at Schmimprov's ever gotten it. It's usually trailed off letters of N and A and O.
My favorite is when Nate does it. He's like, Donish, no, no, no.
That's Jamie. That's Jamie.
Oh, it's
thing.
Jamie?
Yeah. Nate's probably...
Closer?
No, I think Nate's just trying to extend that joke.
Ah, I see. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming and doing an episode of Schmimprov. Of course, it's the least I can do, to bring you over here. And, waste your Saturday morning at Schmimcast bullshitting with me. I appreciate
it. That's fine. I needed something to do. And spending a couple hours talking about myself sounds like a great Saturday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Schmimcast. We'd like to thank you very much for your copious emails, letters, all the free pancakes, butter, and maple syrup that you've sent.
That's, keep them coming.
That's right. When I see a box dripping with maple syrup, I'm like, oh, all right, more pancakes and butter. Thank you. Now, remember, you can subscribe to Schmimcast on iTunes, and you can always check out the website at schmimcast.com. So let's get on to the show here, ladies and gentlemen. We have Donish here, who has been a member of Improv Schmimprov for many years.
That's right.
Do you remember what year it was you started? It was like...
Yes, 2006, actually.
2006. Okay, so yeah, that was like not that long after. After we started at the Maverick in Fullerton.
As far as I know. I never watched Schmimprov before I auditioned, so I assume that that's what happened.
That's awesome.
I kind of assumed, actually, Schmimprov started as soon as I joined, because that's all I know.
That's when it began, as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, well, it was the first Schmimprov Idol.
And how did you hear about it? Like,
oh, man, this is actually a great story. I'm glad you asked.
Excellent.
I never thought I'd be asked how I got on this team in my podcast, but... Years ago, when you guys were at the Block,
mm-hmm.
right? I have this specific memory of walking down the block, and I was just out of high school, and I was wearing my comedy sports shirt, because that's what I did in high school.
Oh, nice.
And I ran into Patrick. Okay, I know now this is Patrick, but at the time, just some buff guy who was really excited to see me. And he had that dumb smile on his face, and he was just like, hey, do you want to come see a show?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is it? And he said, it's like an improv show, because he noticed my comedy sports shirt. And I said, oh, is it like this, like comedy sports? And he's like, yeah, yeah, it's like comedy sports. It's really funny. And he pointed at the building that it was at, and there was a glass, and up against that glass, Nate was pressed up against it. And I remember looking at that and looking back at Patrick and being like, nah, I don't really want to see this. And I left. And, like, it was probably rude, but I remember thinking, like, wow, it probably doesn't take much to, like, do professional improv in Orange County. And so I a little while later, was like, hey, I want to do improv. I was out of high school for a while and had no outlet to do that. Like, I searched Improv Orange County and searched and sent, like, something to everyone. It was probably, like, a year later, Nate was the only person who got back to me and just said, we're having auditions.
Yeah.
And so I thought, and then I called Justin and said, hey, I don't want to do this by myself. Come with me.
Yeah.
So we both just went and auditioned. And I remember walking in and seeing Nate and going, that was the guy up against the glass. Fuck, it's that team. It's that improv team.
That's so funny.
And I remember seeing, and I saw Patrick again going, yup, this is that improv team. God damn it. But you know what? Then actually, after I got on the team, I still hadn't seen a show till after I got on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started like seeing other people just play other games and saying like, holy shit, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Forms of advertising can be deceiving.
Yes, yes. Well, that was the cheapest form of advertising, I guess, was just to put some douche in the window of Maverick at the block.
That's what it seemed. It came off exactly as that. And you know that after I got on, it didn't seem like it started picking up for like another, maybe 6 months to a year. So, mm-hmm. Sometime in 2007 where we just kind of, I feel like, had a huge like increase, like sold out shows.
There was kind of a little like lull in there.
Yeah. Like, you know what it was? I think the first Improv Idol, it was a huge event, huge success. It was really amazing.
Yeah, I think so.
Amazing as far as like how intense the show is and how like, it was as like edge of the seat entertainment as like American Idol or something. And then when they did it the next year, we had a lot more people audition. Cause I remember when I auditioned, I was up against like 8 people. There was like no one else really auditioned.
And there was only like, was there one night that year or was it
two? No, we did two. Mm-hmm. The thing about Shroom Brav Idol that's very flawed is that, this is what I was thinking when I thought I was losing.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought I wasn't going to make the cut, I was thinking of why Shroom Brav Idol is so terrible. But one of the things that me and Justin agreed on still, even after, was that it's really not fair how it's one night to prove you're able to do this. Because you could you could have a fluke, just have a good show and not be funny, or or have a terrible show. Everyone has one bad show every now and then.
Oh, for sure.
And so, or like, you know, the kind of show where you just don't want to be scheduled for the next week.
But
it's based on that one night. And the more I started to think about it, the more I started to think, well, if you can bring it with that kind of pressure on one night, then you can. And being on the other end, I could really see the potential in people through that one night, even if it's not their best night or something. I could see them and go, man, that guy's got like talent. It's like a clay that just needs to be molded correctly.
It's so interesting that you were like the first breakthrough on the Shmimprov Idol. Like that makes you really unique.
You know? Well, it sort of does until like my roast when Nate and Jamie tell me the results of the Idol, and then I've actually learned that I didn't do that well.
Really?
Yeah, he said that like I guess there was a lot of demand for Justin and I think that lesbian girl. Caitlin was her name.
Oh, that's right.
I only know her name because she's recently found her on Facebook. But for the past five, 6 years, I've been calling her that lesbian girl. She was very talented.
She was, but then she did like two shows
disappeared.
And was gone.
Yeah, she disappeared and joined another improv team. But I'm glad she's still doing comedy because she's funny. But it was those two were the people that people wanted on. And then they said that there was this giant gap. And then I think I was the first of that.
Oh, okay.
Which means that I just beat Enrique or something like that. Oh my gosh, that between the two shows, because at that time we were only doing Friday night shows, so it was 1 week apart to the next one.
Oh wow!
And we were, I was just the whole week coming up with excuses of why it's their fault I'm not going to make it, and saying like, oh, you know, Grant lived with them.
He's his roommate.
Roommate. Freaking Enrique's always around the theater. There's girls. And so I just made all these excuses in my mind, not thinking at all I'd get on the team.
Did Graham, like, get through on that Improv Idol? Was he part of that?
He did. Got through. He got through.
That's awesome.
He got through.
And he got through, apparently.
He did. And that's the hardest part, and he did that.
Yeah.
And then
So it was you, Justin, Graham that year then.
Yeah, me, Justin, Grant, and
Caitlin. So there were four.
And Caitlin. Yeah, well, the four of us made it. Caitlin disappeared literally the next day. Graham
disappeared.
Yeah, Grant. I don't know what happened to Grant.
No one knows what happened.
And then Justin just lost all his money to a terrible betting. No, I'm just kidding. Justin didn't do as much shows. He's doing some now, but
yeah, he did a show like last week, I think.
We're all that's left of 2006 Idol. Sometimes I feel like it's just me, but every now and then Justin will say, hey, do I get off the 91 or 57? Like, call me and say that at like...
He still doesn't know how to get there.
Like, yeah, he still doesn't know. But by like 9:30, I think he's like, dude, I'm late to rehearsal. Is it the 57? Yorba Linda? Which exit is it?
That's funny. Well, it's Nate's house, so I guess that's even harder to find. Right.
No, if it was a theater, that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah, I was thinking it was a theater.
No, we go to... For those of you who don't know,
It's at the Block? Right?
Yeah. For those who don't know, we do, Justin, you might want to listen to this. We do rehearsal at Nate's house before the show. And rehearsal, it always bothers me to have to for people to know that we rehearse, because I don't want them to think that we go like, all right,
if plan
we
get a bunch of shit.
If
right,
we get this suggestion, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, actually, rehearsal is sometimes so detrimental because we'll do.
is so fucking true.
Yeah,
I hate it.
We'll do rehearsal. We'll do the funniest scenes in the world, especially because it's for each other. It's really hard to make each other laugh. So we'll try even harder and we will make each other laugh so hard. But the thing is, because out of respect for each other or something, we will never repeat the jokes from rehearsal ever.
Right.
And if we have a great, great joke and even the same suggestion comes up, you have to bite your tongue and just be so frustrated that you can't say it because it's not going to be genuine and everyone on stage is going to know it. And it's so frustrating because I've seen the best work from Shrimprov is at rehearsal.
Oh, seriously, that kills me sometimes. I mean, at least we enjoy the rehearsal.
Sure. I mean, rehearsals are great. Rehearsals are really entertaining. I'd pay $5 for rehearsal. No, and the thing is, too, is most of rehearsal, we're not rehearsing. And when we do get to the actual rehearse part, I feel like it does help.
Mm-hmm.
It does make you more ready for the things that the game is going to bring. But then those jokes that you do based on how the game works and stuff, you'd never carry that over to the show.
Right.
Because that's such an instinctual thing. That's such like a first time around kind of thing that you do. That sometimes when I want to play a game, I go like, okay, I know how to play this game. Let's just not rehearse it.
Yeah, you might as well just skip it.
Yeah.
Because you just lose the freshness of it, I think.
Like, we rehearse Day in the Life, and I don't understand why, because it's like we have to... In rehearsal, we have to make up a person. Day in the Life is played by getting extensive information from a person and living out a day in their life. And we don't format our games by any means, but we just say, just so there's somewhere to go, just start it at the beginning of their day with them waking up. The only note that I've ever given is please do anything you can to get out of the person's room. Because when we do a scene about someone waking up, the rest of the scene ends up being in this person's bedroom. And this person always has a door on either side of the stage to their bedroom. And people who just come in and out, calling them or bursting through. So Day in the Life is one of my favorite games. But in rehearsal, like, we have to make up people because we have to, you know, we have to rehearse it. We can't do ourselves because it's just going to be inside jokes. So all right, the person's name is like Daisy, something it's never going to be.
Yeah.
Daisy McDonald, and she likes hiking in Mount Everest or something like that. They want to, and we do this awesome rehearsal about this girl who also happens to be the Harris of McDonald's and, you know, at Mount Everest. And then when you get to actual show, so we need information from someone really interesting. And then you get someone and they go, what's your name? Dan. What do you do? Nothing. Do you go to school? No. You have a job? Uh-uh. How about a boyfriend? No.
What's that?
A girlfriend? No. Do you want one? No.
No.
All right. So this is Dan. He's doing nothing. He has nothing going on. He never plans to. Go. Do a scene about him. And the scene can only be as interesting as this person.
Yeah.
So I don't think people understand how much of a reflection that is. So a lot of times I'll have to start a scene with some guy who's got nothing going on. Oh, I woke up. That was redundant. And I just go back to sleep. It's really heartbreaking because it's such a good game.
Yeah.
It's such shitty people volunteer for it.
I was listening to a clip that we have from your March Madness finale show.
Oh, the only one I did.
Yes. Where Nate is picking an audience member. Let's just play this. We'll just see Nate totally negate an audience member because they're too boring.
Oh, I love when he
right
does
in the
that.
First place.
Last mixed game, I need another volunteer from the audience. Who wants to do it? That guy's got his hand up. Hey, you, sir, let's go talk to you. What is your name?
Charlie.
Charlie, do you have a job?
No.
I need someone else.
God, I love how he does. I love when he does that. There's and this is a little sidetracked, but there's a certain cruelty to Nate.
Oh, yeah.
That is so, it's so much more than, Ryan or me or anyone else. It's just this blackness, and it's so good. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of spreads. When you join Shmimprov, you either go two ways. You join that darkness, and you become this, dark type of, villainous improver like Nate really, I think, because he's the head of it too, he kind of makes that the image of we're shitty to each other and that's okay. And then Jamie, who he hosts a lot, so he comes off as one of the upper members,
right.
Not to say that he is, but he comes off as and he's a dick too. And so you either go that way or you end up being extremely nice to counterbalance it.
Yeah.
And we've got Jamie, Buster, and Spencer and Patrick, they've got such charming and nice personalities. Yourself, such charming and nice personalities. And on the other side is just people that weren't able to deflect this from Nate and just ended up joining and corrupted. You see people myself and no. look at AJ. We used to be a nice British guy. He's deteriorating too. He's darker and darker.
He did the show last night and I was shocked at how at first I thought AJ didn't want to cuss and be too, over the, kind of cross the line too much.
Sure, you never know.
But last night he was totally balls out kind of.
That's awesome. That's awesome too. I think Jesse is a good example. When he first started, I don't think he was doing, he had the Donish effect where he wasn't doing as well as people expected him to do.
Right, right.
He had experience. I've known him before and he was very funny.
Oh yeah, I loved his audition show. His idol show. He was so funny.
But he went to New Zealand or something and he just came back an evil, awful, terrible person, and he was so much funnier.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened to him there. Maybe it wasn't what happened to him there.
Did he go with Nate?
You know, that's what I think. Maybe he just stayed with Nate or something. Or the rest of, by the time he joined, it's not just Nate. There were not very many nice people at that point. I think we were actually, we had a lot of not nice people at that point. It wasn't until Spencer Jamie showed up till it started counterbalancing that. Until then, it was just Curtis bouncing off everyone else.
That's true. Curtis is pretty.
Curtis friendly, has got that charming, nice thing
definitely.
Too.
Definitely. Yeah, he's very friendly and cool. Him. AJ's like that. I think. He's pretty. He seems nice.
Yeah, he seems. I really think he's turning. It might be for the better.
It could be.
Or honestly, we might be ruining his life. He came from England
because
he thought he got this great gig in Fullerton, and now
I moved to America. Yeah, and I turned into an asshole.
Yeah. All these people are treating me like crap.
I'm gonna shit on them.
I hate improv, Shmimprov. You know, he after he got his visa and everything, he's like, wait a minute, I hate this. So that's what's turned him bitter.
That could be. So if you want to become an asshole, audition for improv. Improv!
If you're good at being an asshole. No, it takes a certain skill to not be an asshole and still be funny. I can't do it. I try to be nice and be funny.
You're really good at mocking people, I think. Well, and using that to your, because like say for example this like this clip that I just played, Day in the Life.
Sure.
You're bit for the whole thing. If you probably don't remember.
No.
You were highly medicated, as I mentioned at the time.
And just so everyone knows, it's because I had surgery.
Yeah, he almost died.
Yeah, I did almost die.
Sucks.
And I beat Nick's team on my deathbed.
Yes,
let's
he did.
Keep that in mind.
Yes. So talk about being an ass. Yeah, like what happened? Like, I mean, why don't we talk about that? We do March Madness every year, and we get up in teams and we battle against each other, and it's kind of like a competition, just like the basketball, except for it's
sure.
comedy. And I was partnered with Enrique against Donish and Jason Booth, and it comes to being Friday night, the night of the show, and we've got these elaborate intros all planned out.
Oh, God, yeah, we worked on them for so long.
Yeah.
I saw yours when I was in rehearsal. You guys worked so hard on that. Ours was like, me and Jason.
It was a lot. It was very involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had like a play, like a 20-minute play.
Yeah.
Like parody of
Well, we wanted to win.
Up. Yeah, well, this is great.
We did this strategically. And honestly, Jason was the mastermind behind this. We were like, what does the audience fucking love? And everyone in this audience,
every
other suggestion is Disney. And so we're like, all right, we'll keep it to Disney. And Jason's a huge movie buff.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to do like some sort of quick, you know, one of because every year there's that abridged movie. So he's like, let's do something like that. And that gives them the Disney. That gives them a video. It gives them a abridged movie like they like. There's no way we could lose. And the thing is, too, is at the time, me and him were both working and we had money, which most of Schmimprov can't say the same. And so we thought we have that over them.
Wait,
a bank
you're not
account.
Getting rich off of Schmimprov?
No, not at all. See, we had a bank account and so we used it and we spent a lot of fucking money.
How much did you spend on the
just the first one? I know that Jason spent $300.
Oh my God.
Throughout the course of the other things, I spent at least $300 to balance that out.
Wow.
So that I spent the same amount. And then for the other ones, we spent
I don't feel bad that you
accounts.
Won because I
kind of... We lost at the end.
Well, you won, but you made it to the end at least.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. Did I spend any money on ours? I don't
think... It looks like you guys had costumes.
We had costumes, but they were borrowed.
No, and we just bought our costumes.
Oh, shit. Well, then I'm glad you won.
We painted... Well, that's what's so discouraging is, like, right before I went to the hospital, I was at the Maverick Theater at 6 p.m. because there was a play starting, and I had to finish before people came in for the play, blowing up balloons for what me and Jason did is actually we did a recreation of Up, and we had planned to get, like, as many balloons as we can behind it because that's the whole point of the movie Up.
Yep.
Because we made a house, too.
Yeah, let me not fail to mention
that we
set,
built and painted a house.
And I like they were like, "Oh, what do we do with the set after we're done?" I'm like, "Get the fuck off stage!" I don't know.
We had to toss it
because you guys did your intro first.
Oh yeah, I was in there.
And I know you weren't there. And I was like, "Oh, we need it off stage. Like we dance. We use like the whole stage."
We had so right before that, I was pumping up like 200 balloons.
You must have been exhausted.
Not exhausted, but I was holding my side. I was in pain.
And you were in pain.
I was in physical pain. I had diverticulitis. Which means that there's a small piece of food that made a tumor-like bulge, made a pocket in my colon, and it made a tumor-like bulge. And so because colon cancer runs in my family, there was this huge concern that it was colon cancer or that it was a tumor. And that's what they thought it was up until 2 weeks after. They thought it may be a tumor. So that night I was pumping up the balloons and everything, and I really, really wanted to do Up. We spent so much money
on
it. We built the costume, built the set, and I was just in an unbearable pain. I couldn't stand. I was throwing up all day. Horrible pain. The kind of pain where you're like, if I died right now, like, fuck it. Not even like, who am I going to miss and stuff. Just fuck it. I'm done.
No more pain. Just fuck it.
My God. And that's kind of what you learn actually going through all this is that like there is a threshold of pain that you just can't take. There is a certain point where you go, I don't even care about writing a will. I just want to be fucking done. Kill me. Kill me so I'll be done.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
that sucks.
It's okay,
it really
man.
Sucks.
No, I'll tell you why it's okay, but I'm making these balloons and everything, and just my unbearable. At this point, I'm at a 90-degree angle. I'm mm-hmm. bending over, and I can't stand because yeah. of the pain. I called my card, and I was like, get nurse's advice. I'm like, do I have to go to the hospital? I have a show tonight. And they're like, you should go to the ER, the way they yeah. describe my pain. It sounds like appendicitis. And I was like, well, is it possible to come at like 12? Like, you need to come now. And I was like, yeah. All right, so I thought I'd get a doctor's appointment before rehearsal.
Yeah.
I see the doctor. And she goes, you need to go to the ER. And I'm like, can you just run a few tests first? Because I got a show tonight.
You're really trying to work.
Yeah. And it's not for like, I'm respecting the stage or anything. Like, I worked hard on this intro.
Yeah, I totally understand.
And we don't have a replacement.
Like, yeah, yeah.
The show's about to start. And so I'm texting Jason this whole time. Hey, there might be a problem.
Yeah.
And Jason was very supportive throughout the whole thing, actually. He came and visited me and everything. But what happens is that they say, there's no time for any more tests. You need surgery right now. And mm-hmm. I said, can I go to the show after surgery? They said, no. And I said, would it be dumb to wait till like 12 or 1 to do this? And the doctor literally told me that would be retarded. And so I said, God damn. So I let them do it. And they said, it's going to be appendicitis. I'll be out for an hour and I'll be back. And I wake up what I don't understand to be like 3-4 hours later after anesthesia. And I'm in the worst pain in the world. And all I keep saying is, oh, so it's appendicitis.
You're still in pain.
Yeah. And this pain is even worse.
Oh,
and
man.
It's on the inside. And I'm just like, oh, it's just an appendicitis. A lot of people have done this before. I shouldn't be a pussy about this. And this is my thought process to the morning. And in the morning, you know, I'm greeted by my family and Hannah and everything. And they're like, oh, by the way, so they had to take out like 6 inches of your colon.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Did I win the show? Is that like, and we won. And I heard there was a lot of like talk of me being injured. So I hope that sympathy helped.
We were all like totally like.
Oh,
just,
man.
We were just like, oh, man, I hope he's okay. Like, well, we heard it was appendicitis.
Let's sure, put
it that
sure,
way.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, okay, it's just appendicitis. He's going to be fine, but
exactly.
He can't do the show.
Right.
But, you know, like, we all, like, were just kind of, like, bummed out that you were sick and, you know.
Dude.
It felt bad. I'm nowhere near as bummed out as you were, I'm sure.
No, it was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing to see how much people, like, really cared. Because I'm so mean to people, too, when I'm doing comedy. That I really wonder if they think that that's how I am, and
right,
like
right.
if I don't experience emotions, and if I don't have like friendships and stuff. And so it's really nice. Like I got more like I hope you feel better than I do happy birthdays on my birthday when it comes to Facebook wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a huge thing. Like I was checking on my phone the whole time, and that really helped me. Like
that's good,
going
yeah.
through that whole thing, it was really nice. Especially when you're on morphine and codeine at the same time, you're feeling really happy. So it was probably a little more exaggerated how happy I should have been because the TV in the fucking hospital would only show 2.5 Men or Dragon Ball Z. So the only two channels that worked.
I can't speak for Dragon Ball Z, but I've never seen it. But 2.5 Men.
Oh, believe me, I saw a lot of Dragon Ball Z. And
I think I would have watched that.
That Vegeta and that Goku do not get along. I remember waking up Monday and them telling me I'm going to have to be there a couple more days.
Yeah.
I couldn't walk. Like I had to, I had to learn how to walk was every day there was a challenge to like, I had to have stuff strapped to me that vibrated my legs so that I didn't get ulcers.
Really?
But like, yeah, because there's no movement.
They stimulate your muscles and whatnot.
So I had to practice walking around the hospital every day. The first day, like I walked down a line and I'm just like, I can't do this. And it wasn't just pain. Like I'd run out of breath.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest, weakest feeling in my life. And then I remember Monday morning waking up at like 8 a.m. and just being like, if this was a normal day, I would have to have been at work. Like I'd have to wake up for work 2 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like sitting there in the worst pain I've ever been in my life, where the kind of pain where you're like, you know, kill me now. I can't take morphine because I just took it like a couple hours ago and you can only take it like 6 hours at a time and always like a 45-minute like working period.
Really?
So I remember thinking like, I can't take any medicine right now. I'm in extreme pain. It's 8 a.m. I should be at work. I would rather be where I am right now than work. And that made me feel so like at ease that I am here in the worst pain in my life and not at work. That's when I realized I hate my job.
Yes. You don't work there anymore.
No, right? No. They realized they hated me too. It was a very mutual understanding.
Like, oh, you're leaving.
No, I at that point was just like, this has worked out for the better. It really did because they didn't want me. I didn't want them. And
that's why I have to figure out some way
Yeah.
To make Shmimprov be our career. I don't know how that. Yeah. I don't know how to do that.
Jeez, man.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
If we were making enough, if we could all live off Shmimprov like Miles does.
You just have to learn to live with a whole lot less.
You got to learn to live without, basically. not to sound tacky, but we're not paid. I mean, we're paid, but enough to get to this show.
Yeah,
and that's,
yeah, yeah.
And that's the purpose of it.
Pays for the gas, basically.
And that's why I moved next to the theater, so I could actually be making something.
See, you're going to be making a profit this year.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually not scheduled for anything this summer, but... But just because I don't know what my schedule is going to be, what with looking for work and all.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and we have to give our schedule 2 months in advance. Oh my God. But at the same time, I told Nate that, you know, if anybody wants to drop, I'd take it in a second. So I'm sure knowing that I'll be playing a lot more than I usually have, actually. But we did win that through sympathy. And then the second round. And here's the thing.
You got the second round. Yeah.
I'm not competitive by any means. And the reason I used to do swimming and water polo since I was from a kid all the way to high school. I used to do water polo and stuff. And the thing I hated most is how much people get in your face about winning.
I know.
But then at the same time, how bad I feel when I beat someone.
I
never have this feeling of yes, like they do. I just think like, man, their day is ruined because of me.
Wait, you weren't raised Catholic.
No.
I was raised Catholic. Yeah. I'm the one who has the guilt all the time about everything.
No. I know.
It's so funny.
It's true, but, well, actually, Justin's Catholic. He may have influenced that. I've known Justin since we actually did high school improv together. I should get into that later.
Yeah, definitely.
But by nature, I've hated competition. I hated that. Well, and that's what I think most actors, if we enjoyed competition, we wouldn't have done acting. Like, we all stopped going to sports and started going towards acting. But so when March Madness comes around, I don't like it. And I don't have desire to win. There is the sense of like, okay, the last person left is declared the funniest person. Mm-hmm. There's that. But you still look at like Patrick and Jamie. They're so funny.
They are
very funny and they work so well together. And when Jamie was teamed with myself, like, each of us, we believe that we're each very funny people,
right?
But together it was a disaster.
Were you on a team together also?
Yes, it was so bad. So I mean, I don't think it really measures the funniest.
It is difficult. Like,
it's just a game show. It's just a show, and you can't think of this competitively.
You have to try to. Although, like, there are some of us, I think, in the group that are way more like, I'm gonna fucking win.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fucking kill you guys.
Oh yeah, like, oh yeah. You see that attitude there, definitely. And when we had to come up against Nate and Drew, I mean, I thought this was going to be exactly the hardest team to go up against.
This
is a team that works together before. Obviously works together well. Very similar.
They work together during the day too.
Absolutely.
Like, very, you know, strong chemistry.
So we were like, this was the team to beat for us. And I wasn't recovered yet. In fact, I was still using a cane.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I was just walking. And what happened is they beat Ryan and Ryan. And I didn't get to see that show, but I heard that Ryan and Ryan had a great, great show.
Mm-hmm.
But then Nate and Drew did this thing at the end where they brought out a puzzle.
Yes.
And they offered it to whoever cheered the loudest.
Right.
This is Nate's always really smart about this. Like the year before when he was with Keel, their theme was to do more improv games within the show. So they're bending the rules and doing all these things, and they're really getting in there to win. So me and Jason are like, what the hell could we do to beat them? Because they're going to have a puzzle again. Mm-hmm. No matter what we do, whatever content there is of the show, they're going to win. Well, now there's added bonus of I'm not even in the show.
Yeah.
And we got Spencer in it instead. Well, the whole show, I was up in the light booth. No one knew that. I was up in the sound light booth. I was up there, and I was just watching the entire show in my Buzz Lightyear outfit. And just waiting and watching a show, and it was a good show. It was a great show.
Yeah.
Drew had great moments. Jason had wonderful moments. Nate had great moments. Nate was an asshole, as usual. Spencer did the final Rebecca Black jokes, I think the final funny ones, and then it came to applause, and then they did doing the puzzle thing again. And so me and Jason had planned this, that right after the puzzle bit, we would offer our own just to balance it out.
Yep.
And ours was, if you vote for our team, guess who we're going to have come back? And I walked on a stage with my cane on that point. Sympathy versus that.
Yeah,
and it was just too hard for people to go towards the puzzle, so they voted for me and got us through. Which for me, it wasn't about winning; it was for fucking playing. Yeah. I just wanted to participate. You I spent to be so part of it.
You
much
to contribute. Yeah.
Even that night's intro. Even though I was in the hospital, me and Jason come visit. We'd finish writing it in the hospital, mm-hmm. and then in my condition, with my cane in one hand and a paintbrush in the other, I helped make the sets. I helped get the costumes and everything. I was still a huge part of that, and I really wanted to come on stage and still be a part of that.
Right,
and I wanted to move on to the next show. It wasn't about beating them, because in a regular show, I don't know how good our chances would have been of beating them. That's where I think maybe that's where our streak would have ended had we beat you and Enrique too. And you know what? What was really touching though was that Drew especially cared more about seeing me again
than
you know,
than
how the show went. I thought that was really sweet. Final night, I was just so excited I got to play. It was really fun.
That was really cool.
And I got to be in the finals for the first time, even though technically I've only ever done one show in every March Madness.
That's funny.
And we got beat by Double Dare, the team who did no dares. I want to point that out, by the way. Not bitter, but they didn't do a single dare this year.
They did
a musical. They did no dares. That's all. No dares. That the year that they were Double Dare before, they did really funny dares.
Each one was like a dare.
Circuit City thing. They did no dares.
Save Circuit City.
I told Jamie that next year Schmixar is going to do the Rocky series or maybe the James Bond series.
Oh, that was a really great idea on your guys' part, I think, to do the movies and the Schmixar.
We were just very entertaining. To be fair, we were just as cheap as offering a puzzle at the end. I mean, people have video intros, people have live. We did both. We cast everyone in it, so everyone's a part of it. We got the cost. I mean, spending all this money sort of is the same as offering a puzzle at the end. Like, we're also solidifying our chances by putting up a production value. We knew what we were doing, too.
Well, since we've been talking about this March Madness thing, before I mentioned something, you really have this talent.
Oh, yeah. Wow, we tangented.
We went,
wow, that was for a while there. Yeah, go ahead.
If you want, we can play this clip.
Yes, please.
It is sort of a longer game, and it begins with Nate's interview.
I need someone who's vaguely interesting. Sorry, Charlie. All right. That guy's got a job. All right. Sir, what is your name?
Nick,
what's your job?
Dancer.
You're a dancer. Now we're talking. All right. So, did you go to school? Are you still in school?
I just graduated.
Just graduated from where?
UCLA.
UCLA?
Woo!
Are you doing any shows right now?
Kind of.
What does kind of mean? You're doing private pole dancing?
I'm doing
a parade
at Disney.
Oh, yeah! New parade at Disney. All right, we got a cast member here from Disneyland. He's in one of the new parades. He's a dancer. I need to know something. What's good that's happened to you in the last month?
Graduated.
How do they know?
Yeah.
How do you know?
He has to think about this.
Think about this, actually.
You got a part in the parade.
I did get a part in the parade.
Yes.
The
last one. Your buddy knows more about your life than you do.
Exactly.
Then let me ask your buddy, what's something bad that's happened to him in the last month?
Something bad that's happened to him in the last month. Do you want to embarrass him?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah!
I don't know, what's bad?
You know, it's bad holding up the fucking show.
Fucking Nate.
Now I remember. Now I remember what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Ring a bell?
Yep. Because immediately I was just like, what an idiot.
What do you got for us?
He has a hard time asking girls out on dates.
Yeah, he does. All right. This is Nick. He has a hard time asking girls out on dates. He just got a job. He was cast as a new parade member in Disneyland. He just graduated UCLA as well. And what's your favorite color?
Purple.
All right. This, we are about to show you a day in the life of Nick. We'll see all of his entire past month recreated through one 24-hour period. This is a day in life after a warm round of applause!
Wake up, good morning, wake up.
You're going to miss a lot of the comedy that came from Jason Booth in this particular clip because he is just prancing around the stage like a deer.
No, because, this is a dancer.
Deer that can dance.
Yeah, this guy, crazy. I love this because you know, this is why I love working with Jason because this was exactly my idea. When Jason started doing it, I know he's a little better on his toes, so I thought, great, he's got this idea because he says he's a dancer from Disneyland. So obviously, my idea is this guy's gay and doesn't know it.
Right.
And with his friend saying he has trouble asking girls out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly how Jason played it. He played it like a guy who wasn't sure he was gay. And yeah, he's prancing around stage at this point. He's doing pirouettes and
so
leaps.
You'll hear tons of laughter, but you're like, why are they laughing?
Every laugh is a leap that he's doing.
What a lovely day.
Gonna start off with some coffee. That's a good idea. Let's see. Fill it up with 5, 6, 7, 8 shots of espresso. Let's check the casting board. Let's see. Dancer, dancer, dancer. None of them gay enough, though.
He's obviously got this direction of this character, and at this point, we've learned that the audience is not okay with letting this guy know he's gay, and we don't hit the brakes on that. Right. I don't know how long this clip is, but there's a certain point where I just say it.
I need to find a point to my life. What is the point? No, not that type of point. No, seriously, though, I'm having such trouble asking out girls, and I don't know why. I approach them at the bar, and I'm like, excuse me, would you like to... Welcome to my abode.
Hey, let's do stuff together today.
Best friend, how are you doing?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. I'm having trouble asking out girls.
Maybe I can help you.
What do I do?
Well. Should I tell you?
Sure.
Okay.
And I think that's just you with your mouth open, staring blankly out.
I've got a dumb look. His friend who held up the show,
yes.
I decided to play on stage, and I then held up the show.
It's interesting how this game turned into like this climax of you guys like bashing on each other.
Oh, that's what you want to get to. Oh, go ahead.
I don't know. Like, I mean,
go
if
ahead.
You think it's
but like... I just wanted to say at this point, like, I was
pretty much
totally focused on making fun of this kid.
Yeah.
And his friend who we forget are supposed to be the people voting for us.
There's someone else at my door, but my girlier door. What are you going to do for me?
I'm ready.
Don't worry. Oh, looks like she's ready for a date.
She's ready for a date. Okay.
All I need to do is ask.
Okay. Well, why don't you watch what I do and tell me what I'm doing wrong?
Okay.
All right. Hey, come suck my dick.
Okay.
That's, of course, Patrick entering the scene.
Coming into the chicken.
Yeah.
Being like, this is how you do it.
So I'm not helpful in this scene. And everyone is within scene building as throwing out their own, like, hey, Donish's character, what do you advise we do? Just because they know my answer is going to just be nothing.
But you stayed committed to the character,
sure.
Right?
Sure, yeah. I think Patrick even throws one my way. He's just like, the only person who can tell you what to do is him. And at that point, I even say, now I'm torn. And this was me as an improver. Either actually tell him and help him continue, you know, doing whatever, or see if this joke is funny the fourth time. Yeah.
Did he tongue right out the door?
No, that was sloppy what he did.
That was completely sloppy, and I just feel like
that gives me an idea.
What you try?
Maybe what you're doing is wrong, and what you should be doing is...
I'm the mailman.
That's two type of men at once.
Here we go again, trying to prove he's gay.
I love a good mailman.
Wait. Do you happen to know any women that I could ask out and then quickly forget about because I'm thinking about you?
Words that you're saying.
Okay, so it's important to know that the audience is uncomfortable because there's and I wish you could watch this in a perspective of the audience because
right.
I can, and they're all sitting next to this guy who's pretty much being told he's gay,
right?
And everyone else is also thinking it, so it's uncomfortable that we keep saying it. And so you can see their laughs are just sort of like, oh god, I'm uncomfortable, so let's laugh to make this moment pass. Oh, and I love those moments.
Yeah.
From this point of view, from where we are, it's safe. But from being on stage, you're just like, man, we're not going to win.
The letter says there's an audition today at Disneyland.
Please
put your leg down. Please bring your dance leotards.
My leotard? I have it right here.
Stop acting like a reotard. You're a male now. Have fun.
Is that what you're gonna do? Are you gonna go audition?
Yes, because I'm going.
first friend.
There's another thing. Apparently, you can't point out that the guy's fat. Look, if you're going to raise your hand, if you're going to be part of the show, then you have to be familiar with the show. We're not nice to each other. Yes. If one of us gains weight, we'll call each other fat. If you're joining the show, we're going to call you fat. And the whole time, I was playing this character with my hands to my sides as if I'm holding a giant belly because fat people have to use their arms. Dear. But this is what's important. I mean, it's about the comedy. It's not about winning. Even though soon you're going to see a different side of me. It's not about winning. It's about saying the funniest thing. So that's why we're just like, fuck it. I mean, even if we're making fun of him, it's funny. You know, to me, one of those, is better than nothing. So
that's true.
It's better than dead silence.
Than silence.
So I'll take it. Because a lot of my jokes end in,
Let's do something for my life.
You know everything revolves around me. I'm a dancer. Say something bad that's happened to me in the last month.
Oh, absolutely. I can say if you want me to say
it. Yeah, say it. It would be embarrassing.
It's just a recreation of what they did.
We got bad news. Real bad news.
What? Really bad.
We're the police.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
The 80s band? I love you guys.
No. Officers.
Officers of the law.
We've got some bad news.
What's that?
I need him to tell you.
I can't do it. What could it be?
This is
What happened? What did you say? But they said that you need to tell.
Yeah, and right now I'm just like, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it. You know, this is pretty climactic because throughout the entire thing, I haven't said anything. And now it's got to that point in the scene where it's like, why hasn't Nate ended this? Let's look for another place to go because, you know, the police are coming in or something. Right. And they're trying to do one last shot at this joke that he had bad news only he could tell you. And it's up to me. And this is the best thing I come up with, by the way.
Let's just note that you were highly medicated.
Blame it on...
You were on some serious painkillers.
Blame
though,
it
right?
on the Norco if you must.
Can I tell you this news?
Don't shut me up!
This joke is funny the fourth time. Oh! I'll tell him. You're not into women, buddy.
I just flat out say it.
Yeah.
You're gay.
But see, that time it worked, right? Like,
yeah,
it wasn't like a big,
No, it was uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable. I said, you're not into women, buddy. And, just like, sort of like, But the thing is, like, any of us would have made that joke. Any of us saw it going in that direction.
And I don't know what else you would have said, really.
I don't know if the guy is gay or not.
I don't care. No, it's not really.
Yeah,
it's a comedy
irrelevant.
Show. We're making fun of him.
It's absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think it was because he should be. Because this guy doesn't know it.
Right.
It makes it a little like, more like, stop saying things. Out of reaction, I got kind of like a let's move on reaction. And that's where the scene should have ended. By the way, a note to Nate right there.
But it didn't.
Nope.
It keeps going.
Nope, yep.
That's where I'm going, away from your negativity. Our job here is done.
First rule, we are real life.
Hey, what was wrong with your fruity friend over there?
I think everything's fine, by the way. He can dance and express himself that way.
I'm not fruity. I dance and I like women. I plant my toes and I like that.
Okay, hold on. Right. Pause there. I guess it's now obvious. Jamie started it. You could see right there when Jamie said, well, I don't think he's gay at all. Like, because he saw that reaction from the audience
and he
wants to win.
So he's trying to go on audience.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with what he does. And he's talking, he's breaking the fourth wall. And you hear me go, wait a minute. But I get talked over. But I do have something I want to say, and I say it.
And the third thing won't get you more votes. He's the worst for Disney. We're Schmitz.
I'm a poet. I might feel bad for you, but there's not enough men. Maybe if you were a male man, I'd like you more.
Where is
actor accent come from? Oh, I'm sorry. Perhaps you didn't know that dancers are pretentious and speak better than those people. Do they also flail around and draw focus during an improv?
We had something important to add, but we couldn't. We're the police.
Elvis, I'm doing these kinds of things. Of things, officer.
What do you call it?
Bullshit boring.
Us characters, based on the scene, should probably leave now, and these characters are copying each other completely out of the
movie. We are the police.
Well, Mr. Police, if you want to know something,
not really.
I find you to be.
You're still talking.
It got okay. So ugly.
It's not just me. No. Jason's the only one still trying to play this off. It's not just me. You're getting a lot of back and forth here where Patrick and Jamie are like, you guys took the two characters in the scene, which I defined as you couldn't come up with characters.
Right.
You had to copy each other and come out of nowhere. And then Patrick is just like, I don't want to hear it. Fuck it. It's over. I think at this point, I think this is going too far.
It should have ended a long time ago.
Me and Jason just walk off stage.
Okay,
It's just an awkward walk off stage because we're just like, this really shouldn't be going in this direction. And here's another thing. Nate's still a little upset about losing. So I don't remember what he comes on stage about and says something. Like, he specifically says, like, that throughout the show, like, between every game, Jason sucked in that one. He couldn't come up with anything. Well, good job, Donish. And you can see the bitterness still there. And me and Jason took away from that is how ugly competition could become.
Yeah,
but at the same time, and to Patrick's credit, right after the show, he starts apologizing and apologizing. To me, I really don't think that that was a problem. I don't think that what Patrick or Jamie did was wrong. I don't think what I did was wrong. I don't think what Jason or Nate, I don't think any of us did anything wrong. That's exactly how improv works. We are trying to make the audience laugh, and we were getting laughs. Be it awkward or be it detrimental to the show, that's exactly what makes us different from everyone else.
Yeah.
So when Patrick's like apologizing, I'm so sorry, I went over the line. I was like, dude, it was funny. And that's what matters. Like, if you've been to one of our roasts, you know that apologizing is just futile because we'll say horrible.
Yeah, they get pretty rough.
So to Patrick and Jamie's credit, I still think that that was very funny. And as a performer, I loved that. And that was very funny. And I loved having their back and forth and saying like, hey, this guy works for Disney. We're Schmixar. Don't even try to like gain.
Yeah.
this scene just should have ended and before that.
It just went on a little long.
Yeah, but I mean, we had nothing else. It was still a competition, and so that became part of it.
I mean, for me, the competition part, it makes it interesting to watch. It makes it maybe more interesting to watch, I would say.
Like, maybe.
I mean, it's kind of the drama of it.
Sure.
And sometimes the train wreck that happens, I think, is really, it's entertainment.
It was the finale. It was the finale. If there's any pressure on any of them, it was that one. You know, we're all friends. Me, Jamie, Patrick, and Jason, we're all friends. And when we're on that stage, we don't put each other's feelings first. We put the audience's laughter first. We know that we're at the end, we'll be friends. We'll still talk to each other, stuff like that. It's about making them laugh. And we're so cruel to each other on stage that you can't start getting butthurt over small things like that.
Right.
If you do, if you're really getting hurt over small things, you wouldn't make it in shrimp prop because it gets worse.
Oh, no. You can.
There's some points where this audience just flat out booing at you. Just flat out saying boo.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I made a joke, a one-liner, and one kid in the background just went, boo! And for my boot camp, I said, that guy had the audacity to boo, but no one paid to come see you. And I got a huge laugh against him. Audience participation is so key. And when they try to be funny, we love it when they do terrible. Don't you agree? Like when they do a terrible job at being funny, it gives us such an opportunity because you got the audience on your side too, to just go after them. And when we're going after people, it's not ourselves. There's a camaraderie. There's a sense of working together. And it's nice. Like when we play against other teams and seeing Nate lash out against someone who made the smallest pantomime mistake, it's so funny when I'm not on the other side of it. Like,
yeah, seriously.
So for the audience, it must be great. It must be great to see us do that to each other. So absolutely, Patrick, there's no need to apologize. You only need to apologize for not knowing people that are already on the team. It's kind of cruel of you. And for trying to get me to watch a stupid show at the block. Oh, one thing I should mention, I hope you don't cut this part out, is that a lot of the hard work in the Schmixar would not have been possible without Hannah and Carrie.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because they worked just as hard as we did, especially Carrie and her mom, Jamie, who didn't get to be on stage like Hannah did for the actual performances. A lot of backstage work, a lot of painting on her side. Carrie's very good at art. She drew that giant Schmixar poster that we kept bringing out every night too.
Yeah, that
eventually
really well
had done. That had eventually had everyone's picture on it as a different Pixar character. That was our, at the end, our kind of like thing to say, you know, it's not just us, we're a whole team, was that we had every single person who was in Schmimprov Idol as a member of Pixar somewhere.
That picture, you can see a picture of that on our Facebook page.
You absolutely can. Or if you come to my house and look upstairs on the second floor in the hallway.
Anybody listening is invited to Donish's house.
Anybody listening is invited to add me on Facebook and ask me whether or not they can come over.
Schmimcast. I know you've been involved with some of the outside Schmimprov shows too, right?
Man, I'm proud to say that I've done literally 99% of our outside shows. It's because a lot of us don't have free time. And the common group I see was me, Jamie, Miles, Drew, and it was some mixture of us. Ryan would play every now, Clark would be involved, Lelon came once, and like we've done a show once where it was just me, Miles, and Jamie Scheel. Jamie Scheel.
Oh, this is the famous three-person show.
Oh, it was two-person show. We get hired for outside shows all the time, and no matter what kind of show it is, we'll make it happen. I've done lots of these. I don't even know how much, but I've done lots of these, and every single one is adapted to the environment. It's
right.
So weird. We did one birthday show. Me, Nate, Lindsay, Amber, and Jamie did a birthday show in someone's backyard. It was so fun,
yeah.
And they were all huge fans, so kind of got our jokes about Drew and stuff. Even though it wasn't bad. They offered us free alcohol, and we were going to stay and party and stuff, and chicks were making out and stuff. Then Amber made us leave. No, I mean, I have a girlfriend.
She ruins all the fun.
I have a girlfriend. So what I mean to say is I'm glad we left at the appropriate manner, and I got back to my beautiful girlfriend.
What's wrong with girls making out? It's sexy.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, Amber made us leave. But no, besides that, I have done Colorado. I didn't do it this year. That and one other show is the only outside shows I haven't done. But the ones worth mentioning, I think it was AJ who talked about how we did it in the library.
Yeah, and you were in that, right?
Yeah. God, that was so bad. There was five, like, toddlers in the audience.
And it's so funny. You had no clue this was going to happen.
No.
Like this, right? Until
Drew
you got there.
Books us the weirdest things. And that wasn't the weirdest thing Drew's booked. Like, that's one thing. Okay, and AJ talked about that one. But another one that we did was this party. Okay, so this woman called to the Maverick Theater asking for something like, I guess when we did Full Monty.
Okay, yeah.
So they were looking for male strippers, basically,
right.
Or something like that.
God.
And so Drew's next best thing is Schmimprov. So he goes, I got an improv team. So she goes, sure. So we show up, and it's this fancy house up in the hills.
Oh, my God.
Really big. It's me, Justin, Miles, and like Drew, the worst dressed people, and like and some other people. I think Amber was there. Sebastian, I think, was there.
Nice.
Jeez. And as every Schmimcast needs to mention Sebastian.
Yeah.
But Sebastian was there too, and we were all just like, we got there, and I think they did like a little like they checked us out, sized us up, and we're like, this is not gonna happen. And they're just like, you know what? Just feel free to
just mingle.
Mingle.
Have some drinks.
For the next hour.
Join in on the orgy.
Yep.
Like what was
that's what we
was
did.
It a swingers party or what?
No, it could have been.
You have no clue.
We could have left a little too early. I don't know. Maybe Amber made us leave.
Yeah.
But, there, we were just getting drinks. Like, don't drink too much. Try to network. And we see Sebastian talking to some guy. And I'm like, oh, good. He's networking. And he's like, I've got this website where I make songs. You should listen to it. And he's networking his own fucking music or something. And not Schmimprov. So I mean,
so
good
Amber
for
made him leave.
Yeah, so Amber's like, time to leave. There were a lot of cougars there. Everyone there was above,
so
like,
but they're
40.
Like,
no,
but
no,
they,
yeah, they didn't.
They thought they were getting the full Monty or something.
Yeah, their excuse was that the guy isn't here yet, but the guy was there the whole time.
And it was for a guy.
It was for the guy. It was supposed to be a joke. Like, the guy
right.
that she said isn't there yet, I saw throughout the night, because later she said, this is the guy. I'm like, that guy was here.
But you got paid anyway, right?
No.
Oh,
no.
What the fuck?
Didn't get paid
sucks.
At all. We didn't get paid.
Don't do that to us.
I went to Colorado. The year before was fun, and the year before that, the first year was with Sebastian. The thing was about him, it was a really weird. Sebastian, you got to understand, is not a character. He's a genuine person.
Yeah.
That's why we always talk about him so much. It's because it's not like he's trying to do anything to make us laugh. He is this type of person. He's a very unique person.
Indeed.
And when doing improv, I forget who it was that said it before. He's not doing improv. He's doing... Sebastian's got his own sense of humor. And on the trip to Colorado, on the 16-hour drive, all I have to figure out is how do I make it so he doesn't just take a scene, because he does something to the scene.
Yeah.
Like, something happens to the scene where it just stops making sense, it stops going into, like, a viable direction, and it just starts being, like, either a pun or something. And so I practiced and practiced with Sebastian, because I had to do a scene with him in Colorado, and I noticed he waits for an opportunity to ruin the game. And what I mean by ruin, I mean, like, if you say, like, I'm gonna go, like, duck hunting, he's like, you mean you're gonna duck because people are hunting? And because we're doing improv, I'd say, yes, I'm gonna duck because people are hunting for me. And so I realized we have to play a game where if Sebastian says something stupid, I could say, no, we're not gonna do that. And in improv, you're limited to how much you could say that word.
Right.
And when you're in a festival, people know the rules of improv and they don't want to see you say that word. So we have a lovely game called Bullshit, where someone says something and you say bullshit. And when you say bullshit, they have to say something else. And you control that. You pretty much control how much you want them to change their dialogue. And that's exactly what I needed for Sebastian. So when it was like, hey, let's go over to that guitar store and make a camp out? Bullshit. And buy some guns? Bullshit. And get a job? Yes, let's get a job. Like, and I found a way to just, for at least keep it in control. But he was very well receptive. He was very funny. He played other things. And it's not that Sebastian's not funny. It's just that there's you have to get it.
Yes.
You just have to get it.
Yeah, if you don't get it, you're never going to get it.
You just got to keep watching it till you get it or something. You got to not think it's an act. That's what I think that makes the difference. Once you realize that's genuine, that's when it gets funnier.
So we talked a lot about Schmimprov so far, but you said you did comedy sports in high school.
Like, oh, right.
There was a comic book origin story for Donish.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Where did it start? Like, who were your influences and all that?
Oh, man. I've been listening to all the Schmimcasts.
So clearly it started with Schmimcast.
So it's Nick. No. I've listened to a lot of the Schmimcasts, and I didn't want to say this because it's the same thing for me.
I mean,
but being the same age as these other people, around the same age, Jim Carrey was also, just much like Ryan and AJ, one of my influences. And not in the same sense. Like, you see, Ryan has a lot of the physical influence. AJ as well. Even AJ has a lot of physical, like, his physicality is very Ace Ventura.
Right.
For me, the way he was just like, I kept saying, he's an adult. Why is an adult doing these things?
Yes.
And it was an interview I watched him do, and I forget for what movie it was, but they were in this hotel room, and there was a backdrop of, like, a sunset or something, and they were interviewing Jim Carrey for something. And in the middle of the interview, he just gets bored. Like, they're talking to him, and he just shoves the plant off of the table, and it falls down, and the pot breaks. And the guy interviewing him just looks at it. Then Jim Carrey stands up and tears down the backdrop and goes, "We're in a hotel room, by the way. We're not on a beach." And he looks outside. He's like, "Look, I can see where I'm parked right there." And I thought that was the funniest thing, because the guy's just standing there. And Jim Carrey comes back and they resume his interview. And it wasn't like I saw this on YouTube or something. I was a kid. I saw this on the news going, like, Jim Carrey just, like, got bored with an interview. Is there a problem with Jim Carrey? And I remember thinking, like, no, he was bored because the interview sucked.
Right.
And I remember, like, that specifically just made me think, like, wow, adults should act like that. And when I'm an adult, I want to act ridiculous too.
Are you going to start tearing my room up?
No. No, unfortunately, there's no camera that'll capture that.
The microphones will capture me screaming. My TV!
You can just add sound effects.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, like, wow, an adult should not be acting that way. And Ace Ventura, Liar Liar, all those movies really made me want to do comedy. Really made me want to act. Actually, I was really inspired to be an actor. As a kid, I did a lot of childhood acting classes.
Okay.
For commercials and stuff, I was supposed to be on this orange juice commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was all set and everything, but I was cut the last minute. They switched me out because they said I can't say the words. They said, say best orange juice. And I was like, it's the best orange juice. Like,
right.
Orange juice. And I'm like, it's the best orange juice. Like, it's two words. I'm a kid and I'm orange juice, orange juice, orange juice. And they're like, not orange juice. It's orange juice. So now, like, every time I say orange juice, I try to pronounce as best as I can.
Yeah.
I was cut specifically for that.
Oh,
didn't have another acting job ever again. I've got all these headshots from when I was a kid that
that's so funny.
Never look like again. Never get that youth back. But
you should put those on Facebook or something.
Oh, jeez.
People would be like, oh my God,
they
can't believe that's you.
So gay. My mom has them up on her like Facebook, I think. They're so gay. Anyway, so in high school, I wanted to get into acting. And I saw a lot of people acting. I saw my friend Brian and Justin Kupanoff is on the team.
So, and you grew up around here?
Basically? Yeah, Irvine.
Irvine, okay.
Yeah, Irvine. Well, I used to live in LA, and I moved to high school. I moved to LA here, and I didn't know anyone. So I thought, hey, it's a chance to make an image for myself. And so in class, I would just, you know, I would be the guy who disrupted class or pulled pranks on the teacher or like... like try to get people to walk out of class. Man, I had so many fun days with substitutes. But I also really wanted to get into acting. And I saw Justin Kupanoff in the play Rumors. And I remember watching that and going, wow, they're so good. Like this is really well done. And I don't know if I would have been able to do this. I auditioned for the part, actually, and I couldn't get in. But I thought, man, I never think I could memorize that many lines and like stay committed to these characters. And just I don't know how on earth they do this.
Right.
And so I took drama class. I took intermediate drama class. I auditioned for a play, Dracula. And Dracula was written by our director. And by written, I mean he took some parts from the movie. Bram Stoker's Dracula took some parts from the book. So that's what I mean about writing.
Yes.
And as far as directing goes, he just showed us the movie. So
here, do what that guy does.
That's literally what he did.
That's crazy.
And so I got to play Renfield, and Justin was Jonathan Harker, the main character, goes to visit Dracula. It's a good movie. I like the movie. In that play, everyone's part is boring as shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boring fucking play, especially for high school. It's so boring. And my character was insane.
Right.
I was the only interesting thing to see. And they made me the narrator, so gave me an even bigger part. They had me do all these crazy things where, like, they made trap doors in the ground I jumped out of, and they made it really interesting. But from then on out, everyone just assumed I was a great actor. And anyone you asked I went to high school with or, you know, did high school theater with would say, oh my God, Dawnish and Dracula was just beautiful. And really, I was just the only character that was different. Every character is just British and boring and scared. And then there's Dracula, who's, you know, that's Dracula. But I got to stand out. And from that, that got me more parts. I'm not great at singing, so I didn't. In musicals, I always got like ensemble with Music Man and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Peter Pan. I was like either pirate, but brother, something like that. Always just like an ensemble character. But I got to be the lead in Arsenic and Old Lace. Great play.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
I love
and
that show.
What I love about it too is at the end, what the ongoing theme about the main character is that his family's crazy and he doesn't want to be crazy too. Every single person in his family is insane. And what he finds out at the end is that these aunts and brother and everyone he's related to that are so crazy that he's actually not related to at all. He's adopted. And at the end, he just has to scream out, his last name's Brewster. He goes, I'm not really a Brewster. And he runs off stage. Because of my lack of respect for theater, Saturday night was prank night. So when they told me, you know, you were adopted, I looked around at everyone else. I live in Irvine, so keep in mind, everyone's white. So I looked around at my other quote unquote family members. And instead of saying, I'm not really a Brewster, I go, that's why I'm so much darker. And that got a huge laugh. And, oh, God, when I walked off stage, my director was looking right at me.
Oh,
and he was just like, yeah, fucking detentions and suspensions for that shit. You can't.
Did you really? Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Well, high school, I guess.
Well, that's what I realized. Like, I really don't care about acting as much as I do comedy. Like, it's just the comedy that the aspect of it that I really like.
Right, right.
I did Crucible.
Oh, shit.
And I couldn't put a joke in that. You just can't.
Yeah, that would be tough.
So I put a joke in it. And what I did was, but I couldn't do it for the audience because it's Crucible.
Yeah.
But there's this part where I go up to the judge and I give him these depositions. I was John Proctor. I give him these depositions that other people have written and stuff. And he's supposed to read each one, read it. And the line he says is, this is a well-written deposition. So every night, that piece of paper would be a picture of the judge doing, like, photoshopped into, like, doing gay sex or something like that. And he has to look at it and go, and all the other lawyers and everything behind him kind of peek in to see the picture. So for Saturday night, I said, this has to be the funniest thing that I could think of. So I just took a piece of paper and I wrote a well-written deposition. And I gave it to him and I go, here's his deposition. And he opens it and he goes, this is a well-written... And he has to stop himself because he's about to bust up laughing. Because he's about to just read it, basically.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, God, that was great. And that was the only prank I could put in there. I was also in Proposals. We did a lot of Neil Simon, apparently. Proposals is shit. Yeah. It's a terrible play. Neil Simon's a terrible playwright. Rumors is the only good thing he did. even Neil Simon himself didn't like proposals, is what we read, because we were trying to get our director not to do it. God, it was so effing boring. The only reason we did it was because the main character was a black woman, and we had a black woman graduating that year, and she kept pushing it. But we didn't have a black guy.
Yeah.
We had me.
Oh, so you...
So I'm cast as the black guy, and I don't... And, like, I'm not the right guy to play a black guy. Not just my looks, but my sense of humor alone. I should not be a black guy. And so the only black voice I can do is Chris Rock.
Oh, my God.
So we're doing this serious play that I don't know what the fuck it was about. I was just doing it every day. And I had to do this, like, how come every time I come in here, you guys look at me that way? Is it because I'm black? No, I never said black. But, like, I'd always be like, hey, I haven't seen you for a long time. And just, you know, always playing it, like, really, really black. No matter what it sounds like, it always going to come off black. And they liked it. And the black girl was always just like, my family came to watch the play this night, and they said you did an excellent portrayal of a black man. And I was like, wow, that's a good thing your family doesn't like. Yeah. It's a good thing they thought so, because I was not taking that seriously for one bit. You know,
seriously.
I'm doing my best Chris Rock, and it was stupid. The fact that I was cast for that was stupid. And
we did the same thing when you were in.
Oh, yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Right?
So the very next play I've done at the Maverick Theater was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as a black guy. But the director was much smarter. Ryan White is a great director.
No, he's very smart.
And his awesome decision that I don't think any director will ever do for me is, hey, this guy talks in jive, you're not black, so I don't want you talking in jive.
Right.
I want you to go through and write your own lines. And so I got to go through the whole script of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and write in all these lines. There was three characters, and we cut it down to two. And so me and the other aide shared that character, that third character, making our parts a little bigger. So I got to write in all my own lines. But not only that, I made my lines longer. So I went from being just, you know, background character to supporting character.
Right.
There was depth to my character. There was extra jokes. Some one line turned into a monologue. It was so much fun.
That's awesome.
Besides that, the only thing I really participate in at the Maverick Theater is Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the only thing, just because I might do something this year. We were doing Get Smart this year.
Yeah, there's some comedy show. I'm sure that would be
fun. Might be interested in that, but I will be doing Night of the Living Dead. I've recovered fully. I've got the part as the lead zombie, and I don't want to give it up. It's possible for, you know, more experienced people to come back and take it, but as of now, it's... it's mine, and I want it. I want to keep being the lead zombie.
You have some cool, like, stuff you do in that. Like, I mean, some of the fights and stuff.
Yeah.
You have a really...
I choreographed, actually, one of my deaths, and it's mine. And
is that the one where you get impaled into the wall?
Yes.
Nice!
The set is actually... awesome. There's a hole cut in the set to my height. Nobody else can do that part.
Yeah.
Because they shove the thing. The person playing the lead female, which was Julie last year, and the year before that was Susan.
Yes.
I choreographed it with Susan, and... it's really fun, and it's, I feel like it's mine because it fits right to me. And I love that scene, and I got that part because Brian loves that slide down the wall that I do after I get stabbed.
Yeah, you play it like perfectly. It's like one of the coolest deaths, I think, you know, for a zombie in the entire show.
Oh, thank you. I'm still very much love the being bat to death with the fat guy gets to do.
Well, yeah.
That's always,
I've got one boomer in the show.
Yeah, one boomer. I actually love Left 4 Dead also. I still play it.
You're into video games,
who else plays it. Absolutely. I've been playing Left 4 Dead since it's been out. I think I've racked up over like 700 hours. It's like the only thing I play, though. And I'm an admin on one of the on one of the modded servers.
Oh, cool.
Okay, we're getting a little nerdy here. But what this basically means is there's some servers where you can create your own levels while there's other people playing. And everyone has the power to create things. Mm-hmm. And these servers desperately need someone watching over it because everyone has the power of a developer. And basically, you can do anything you want.
Nice.
And so we have to have admins with even more power to watch over that. So I do that with a couple other people I've never met in my life online. Me and like five other people, we watch over this one server. And it was great because mostly kids play. I got to be admin just by saying, hey, I'm an adult and I like playing this.
Right.
Could I get some more powers here? They said, yeah. And so we're starting like to put like Carl's Jr. ads and stuff like that on there. So I'm hoping to start making some money out of playing video games.
Oh, that would be cool.
It would be nice because we're already advertising Carl's Jr. a lot. We're getting a lot of ad space from them.
Oh, sweet.
Anyway, tangent cool. again. Back to high school. While I was doing all these acting things, acting wasn't for me. I'm not bad at it, and I think that's what people are surprised at. But I mean, you have to be good at acting to be able to do improv. Everyone who does improv can somewhat act. Yep. It's a huge part of it, and some people get surprised when they see like Ryan Clark acting. Ryan Clark could act.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And most people would just say he can't because he comes off as this like chaotic fuck up, but really it's always a controlled chaos. So right. He knows what he's doing. He's very educated in how improv acting and sketch writing and all this stuff works. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's the best example to use because he's the least most likely to be able to do these kind of things. In Night of the Living Dead, he has this great part they made just for him. He looks just like the character from the movie, Johnny, and he plays it really well. And anything he's done well. When he was in with you, he was in Zombie Love.
Yeah, he
was great in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. We all can act, but a part of us desires to do comedy as well. And improv is an excellent acting exercise,
yeah,
even though...
definitely. I mean, there's some actors out there like, I don't know how you do that. That's
sure.
crazy. But
you
I
should,
mean, it's though. A great exercise.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. You and Nate and all these other people are constantly in shows is because you're constantly in practice. If you're not doing a show, you're doing improv.
Right.
And some nights you're doing both. So you're still getting your acting exercise out. And whenever I, like, jump into an acting role like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, this is my first part, because Night of the Living Dead doesn't count. I could do Night of the Living Dead stoned and drunk, and I could still do the part.
Yeah.
Because I'm a zombie. But for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I had to actually do this. I wasn't nervous at all. I feel like I've been getting practice. Yeah. And what's funny is my character had to smoke weed and drink within the play. And acting at it was just like... I have to pretend like, I'm drunk and stoned.
This is a real fucking stretch.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's only going to be an attempt.
It's only, yeah. But I mean, I could never, ever do that on stage. And I hope that that's not the impression I ever give off. I would never come on stage messed up unless it was a drunk show.
Right, right.
I would never, ever do that.
That's the whole point, isn't the drunk
show. The audience is paying for a good show. And unless they know it's a drunk show, I mean, why ruin it for them? Because being messed up, whatever you're on... be it painkillers for your surgery or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't intentional. It's necessary.
But, like, you don't get the best out of you.
Schmimcast. Okay, so it's hard to believe there was improv before Schmimprov, but I understand you were in an improv group or something in high school, or you had a comedy sports team?
As some people might not know, Comedy Sports offers high school leagues throughout Southern California. And basically they train you and teach you and you pay for the label and you get to have their format of shows. And there's a camp that they offer. If you go to their summer camp, they'll teach you everything. So me and Justin had gone to these camps, and these camps are run by people who are in comedy sports at the time who are now, they're actually, some of them have had some success. Some of our counselors were Steve Agee, who you might not recognize, but if you ever watch the Sarah Silverman program, he plays Brian Bosane's gay roommate or whatever.
Oh, okay.
He was one of our counselors. Some of the other people only ended up doing a company called Duh, which is Department of Untapped Hilarity in Disney's California Adventure, where they perform improv live.
And, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. They had.
I auditioned for that,
did
actually.
Really?
Yeah, as a understudy. I sabotaged my audition.
Oh.
But so me and Justin went to camp for that. And, Scott Chernoff. Chernoff? I don't know. He was in an episode of Tim and Eric. So okay. I consider that success. But anyway, we went to camp and we learned how it works and everything. And when me and Justin were going to high school, there was only freshman, sophomore, junior. There were no senior class. And senior class developed as we went on.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it was a new high school. So there was not much competition. And there was an improv team that the senior team tried, the juniors tried to start, that went absolutely awful. When they were seniors, they tried doing that. So that makes sense. The first graduating class tried to start an improv team and it didn't work out. Second graduating class, Justin was doing it, and Justin was a year older than me, and he went to the camp, he went to all the classes, he learned everything, and so he introduced it, tried to introduce it, get it started, probably had a couple shows. I was on the team as well, but me and Justin hated each other at this point.
Really?
Like, he would come up with stupid, like, teacher games, like whoever could stay quiet the longest type of game, and if anyone made a noise, he'd send him outside just to send me outside.
Mm-hmm.
And once I was outside, me being as vindictive as I am, I would put, like, the chairs from the quad, I'd put it in front of the door so everyone's stuck in that room. And Justin would get pissed about that. Justin didn't like me for any reason.
So you guys weren't actually friends at first?
No, we hated each other.
That's so
absolutely
funny.
Hated each other.
Oh my God.
And he graduated, and then when he graduated, I was like, all right, not to pick up from the crap he left off.
Right.
And I went to the camp. I encouraged a bunch of people to go to the camp. I offered them like a secured spot on the team if they wanted to the camp. Got like 20 people from our school to go to this summer camp of, you know, just intensive improv. And when they came back, I was captain, and so I scheduled us for about like 24 shows that year. And I wish I could show you the website, because I made a website for it and everything. It's gone down since, but like every single page of the website had an Easter egg on it, and each
awesome.
Easter egg was really funny.
Was one of them of Justin lighting a fart on fire?
No, it did not happen yet. Awesome. Nick will post a video that I showed him earlier about.
We can play the audio.
It's
not as exciting. You
can hear the flame.
Yeah, you can.
From Justin's asshole. It's amazing. It's the top one.
Unless it's this one.
Nope. That's me playing Mario. Although you can listen to this. Hold on. Listen how long it takes for me to beat him.
Holy shit.
Done.
You beat the fucking, what is it, the Koopa King?
Yeah, go to the Street Fighter one. That's even less time.
Hang on. I love old video game.
Oh, God. I was champion of SNES. My brother was born when I got my SNES, so I didn't get much attention, so all my focus went into Super Nintendo.
Here's the Street Fighter. Hopefully it loads up.
Round one. Fight.
Astonish kicking ass.
Fight. Uppercut.
God.
Fight. Uppercut.
That's it. That's Bison.
You didn't have that on easy, or what?
No, man.
You like kicked him in 10 seconds.
Yeah, apparently it only takes 3 hits from Saget to kill Bison.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, are we watching it again?
I just figured we could talk over it. I wanted to hear the you win again. That's my favorite part.
Right through his own statue.
You win.
What a bitch. What's funny, though, is if you beat the game as Saget, you still won for the bad guys.
Oh, yeah?
There's these four guys that if you win with them, Saget, Vega, Balrog, and Bison, that you still, the bad guy still wins because they were bad guys.
Dude. All right, so here it is in its full glory, the flaming fart video of Justin Kupanoff.
You could hear the flames. Play that one bit again. Play that one bit again. It's right as it starts, right before the laugh. You hear this. That right there.
That was it.
Yeah.
That-
we're definitely going to put that video up for you to watch. It's incredible. Justin burnt off his knuckle hairs and he ripped 3 holes in his pajamas doing that. And like he said, his asshole burned. At the end of the video, if you watch it on the site, he runs into the kitchen and just starts like patting his ass down like he's trying to put out a fire. He said it feels like he just shit after eating Chipotle. It was like...
Be sure to check that out on the website.
YouTube video that's going to take me to fame. And what's weird about it is I had other people who enjoy lighting their farts on fire message me and just like talk about it. And I'm like, what do you want to talk about? He just lit his fart on fire. It's possible.
Well, since I asked a bunch of people to ask questions on Facebook for this episode, I'm going to ask you the questions since I begged and pleaded for them to do so.
I try not to read them because I wanted to have an on-the-fly answer.
This question comes from Jason. He asked, would you have rather licked the dog or run around the room a billion times? Okay,
I know what this is about. So, people who don't know what his question is, I did something funny.
Game-o-matic.
Basically, we had a game-o-matic where me and Miles versus Jamie and Enrique. Jamie and Enrique made up a game that we had to play, and we made up a game that they had to play. The game they made up for us was pretty interesting. It was that me and Miles each get a letter from the audience, and neither me or Miles know each other's letters, but we know our own letters. When the other person says your letter in their normal speech, you have to do a lap around the theater. And so I didn't know his letter and he didn't know mine, and like mine was like P or something. So he'd say like, stop, professor. And so I'm like, fuck. So I'd run around the room sometimes. And one thing that I'd constantly say when I had to run was damn. And that made Miles run. I guess his letter was M. And I started to catch that really quickly because it's the only thing I was saying.
Right.
So I was like, so every time he made me run, I'd say, damn it. So he'd run with me. I'm like, you're coming with me. Damn. Come on.
It was an exhausting
and
game.
And it was exhausting. We were running for that whole scene we were doing, running around the theater. So we got vindictive. And when it came time to challenge them to a game, I said, fuck it. The letters were CP. And I was like, my game is called Cute Puppy. The way that this works, and there's always this girl with this puppy in like the second row.
Right.
Always sitting there. Always.
It's Jen.
I don't know who she is. Oh, yeah, I do know who she is. I'm sorry. Because she's going to get mad if I say that.
Who the fuck is that?
Yeah. So what's her name was with the what's with the dog. And I said the name of the game is Cute Puppy. The way this game works is that one person has to always be licking the puppy while the other person is doing the scene. If you can't take licking the puppy anymore, put your hands up and switch places. But at all times, one of you is licking that fucking dog. And that dog was a puppy, so it was biting the shit out of them. And it was an uncomfortable scene. Again, much like most of my humor. Very uncomfortable. Everyone was just sort of like, oh, stop, stop. Even though they fucking voted for the game.
Yeah, I know.
So would I rather have done laps around the room or dealt with the kind of punishment that I give out? I'm glad I ran around the room. I think it was very funny that they had to lick that fucking dog. My boot camp for that show was, don't bring your dog to the show or I'll turn that bitch into a hoe.
Well, thank you for that question, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
AJ asks, how did your family end up in America? Took a plane?
Unlike Mexicans like
just
Enrique
walked
across
the border.
AJ, it's not as easy for Middle Easterners to get over. It was really fucking hard. Now, there was a time in the 70s and before that when my uncle, oldest uncle, who is a conductor, plays every instrument from the piccolo to the tuba.
Oh, sweet.
He worked with, I believe it was the U.S. Army band. He was a composer and conductor. And so he came back and forth to America, no problem. But then around the late 70s, early 80s, there was the revolution in Iran. And I don't know if the average person knows about this. Maybe I do just because it's so close to home for me. But when the revolution happened, my mom and dad were basically, they said, imagine America just the way it is today. And all of a sudden you just see soldiers coming down the street, tanks coming down the street,
Shit, yeah.
You know, lights turning off, people just like shooting and people handing you guns and shit like that. And the war just starting around you in what seems like such a civilized city.
Right.
See, back then there were no like oppressing laws. They were just called Iran. It's a normal place, but they wanted to overthrow the monarchy. We had a king and the Shah is what we call him. Shah is Farsi for king. So I mean, I'm sorry, this is not at all funny. This is not funny at all in the least bit. So I'll make it quick.
It's interesting though.
Yeah, basically my mom and dad met each other, got married, and for their honeymoon went to America. And they stayed. A little bit of illegalness to that, yes. But, I mean, it's just like, they won't let you out. In Iran, they just won't. It wasn't about getting to America. In Iran, they wouldn't let you out. And with that hostage situation, it made it even harder.
Right.
So they got through. My parents were some of the first to come through. And they came over with like $1,000 with nothing in their hand. Wow. My dad had an education from the University of Tehran, which is really hard school to get into. And it means nothing. Once you get here, your education means nothing. So he started over, went to the university. He went to Cal State Long Beach for a while. Got his degree. I believe he majored in chemistry and math. So you could imagine how excited he is that his son wants to be a comedian. No. My family is so supportive.
That's so supportive of it.
Yeah. They really want me to like do comedy and stuff. And anyway, so my mom went to school as well. I mean, they didn't want me born in Iran just because of how oppressing it became. And it turned into the Islamic Republic of Iran. And you see the ugly face of, you know, the combination of religion and government, where it's just like this extraordinary power the government has. Because when you have the power of religion, you're justified in whatever you do. And when you make a law, when these like mullahs make a law, it becomes a religious law. And if you defy it, you defy God. And the punishment for defying God, death. So, you know.
That's hardcore.
Punishment for being death, hanging. I'm sorry, punishment for being death. Is that what I said? Punishment for being.
There's a punishment for dying.
Punishment
even.
For dying. Actually, like, there is.
Oh my God.
If they have to execute you, they will send your family a bill. It's called the bullet tax. You pay for the bullet they had to put in you.
Right.
$3,000 is how much that costs.
Oh my.
To have to execute someone. And execution could be for anything. If you're gay, you're dead. They hung two people in the past like 5 years. This is recent. Just for being gay. They were homosexuals, so they're hung. Wow. And the president of Iran says there's no such thing as gay people in our country because he eradicates it through process of selective evolution, I suppose. So they're very, very awful, awful people. I've my mom's told me very many stories that she's learned from there. The schools went from teaching you about biology to teaching you about why the Ayatollah is so great. I remember I talked to one of my cousins who's still in Iran. A lot of my family has been able to come through the legal immigration process, which has taken us over 30 years.
Yeah.
It's just such an awfully difficult process. I wish we could just, you know, swim around it like the Mexicans do, speak English like the British do. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's just not as easy. Some of my cousins are the last ones left. After you pass the age of 21, because of some laws that Bush put into act, you can no longer use your mother's citizenship as a form of getting you over, so you had to get a different visa. It's just really complicated. Anyway, one of my cousins who's still there, I can't go to Iran. I have dual citizenship. I can't go to Iran or I'll be drafted into the army. From the age of 21 to 25,
wow,
you will be drafted for 2 years. So after 25, I can visit. But even then, I shouldn't. It's in a state of turmoil.
Like, right, right.
So I met my cousin in Turkey. I visited Turkey for a while, and I got to see some of my family I've never seen before. And it's easy to communicate with them. I speak fluent Farsi. Many people might not know that. And when I was in Turkey, I learned that he actually could speak English. They teach English there, too. A lot of Europeans and even Middle Easterns could speak English. So it was easy to get by. But he and I came across a tree and it had a little cocoon on it. And I'm from the city, so for me, I was just like, oh, cocoon. I don't come across these very often.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? That's a spider web. I'm like, no, this is a cocoon.
Yeah.
He's like, what's that? And this guy is like 30 or something. So I'm like, it's where butterflies, like caterpillars eat leaves. They make a cocoon and become a butterfly. And he just like looked at me for a while and was like, really? I'm like, are you serious? He's like, they didn't teach us that in school. That like little thing right there shows you the severity of oppression. He's like, the things that we learn about in class is why the Ayatollah is so great, how amazing he is. And here's some math that relates to how amazing he is. So like, there's no reason he would learn the biology or like of an animal.
Right.
He has no idea of anything about that. And he was amazed by that. And to me, I was just kind of like, wow, I learned that in kindergarten. Like,
yeah.
Like that's something I know from a children's book that like, mm-hmm. I can't even pinpoint where I know that from, but like everyone knows that. And so it's kind of amazing to me how much they're held back from those kind of things. And you know, recently when there was a fraud in the Iran's election, there was like another second revolution kind of starting that kind of died out. And through that, they blocked all internet access in Iran because they didn't want people to show the rest of the world what's happening.
Yeah.
But you know, all these fucking Middle Easterners, they're all IT guys. They all know how computers work.
Right.
That's their way of getting around this oppressive society. They all have to learn how to use computers and TVs. When I went to Turkey, we had this TV in our room that didn't get anything. It took him 3 seconds to go to the right place, like this hardware place, grab a computer chip and hack the box and give us all these channels from all over the world. And I was amazed. I'm like, how do you do that? He's like, you don't know how to do that. And he looked at me like, you wasted your time learning about fucking caterpillars and cocoons.
And I'm like, a lot of good that did you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All I have to do is call like Time Warner and I got all those channels. But he still had access to the internet, and I talked to him over Facebook, and I'm like, what's going on there? Are you okay? And he's like, there's riots all the time on the street. It's not safe to go out. And I was like, where are you getting internet access from? And he's like, I hope you understand. I can't write that over Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, creepy. That's scary.
That is crazy.
That's so fucking creepy. He should be here this year, and he's the last of my cousins that want to come over. The rest of them had to wait so long that they already got married, had families, and are sort of like, what's the point?
Yeah, they're
They've already
there.
Made lives there.
Yeah.
But of my, you know, my mom has 9 brothers and 3 sisters, and all of them but one is here. And each of them have a bunch of kids and stuff like that.
Oh, cool. So
I'm really excited for him to get back.
And well, I hope it works out for you guys.
It should be fun. Unless there's any sort of other freaking, like, I'm glad they didn't find Osama in Iran. Shit. God.
Yeah, I think we all are, actually.
Yeah, God, many reasons. Personally, for me, it's just like, fuck, my family will never get here. All our visas will be revoked.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So they got here very difficultly. Yeah. Difficultly. So I appreciate that you're here, AJ.
Well, thank you for that question, AJ. That was a good education, actually, I think, for all of us.
There's a lot more. I mean,
yeah.
I could, if you're ever interested in talking to me, pull me aside and say, tell me about the Middle East, because
I think there's a lot that people don't know.
They just don't know.
And knows.
It's incredible to think that state was just as free as America was in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, one of the laws is you can't walk around with someone down the street. You can't walk with a girl down the street if you're not either directly related to her by sister or mother, or if she's your wife. If she's your cousin or if she's your friend, police will stop you. This is a real law. Police will stop you and they will bring your families and say, are these two to be wed? And if your family say no, they will give you lashes. You will get whipped. The boy and the girl will be whipped. If they say yes, you're forced to marry on the spot. Believe it. They do that
it's
shit.
It's so unbelievable. I mean, just to think the amount of freedom we have here, like, that, just imagine that happening. I can't, like, imagine that.
It went from this to where it is now to that. It is. It's incredible that people, like, I think about the things I don't put up with here. Like, how could pot be illegal? And, you know, over there, it's like, I mean, I wouldn't last a day. Like, just like, frustration. Like, like, if you go to Wikipedia and look up alcohol laws in the world, Iran is at the bottom of the list, and it says not applicable because alcohol is illegal. Shiraz wine comes from the city of Shiraz in Iran, yet we don't manufacture it. You get Shiraz wine from Australia, from other places, because it's illegal in Iran.
Yeah, it is mind-bending. Let's see, a couple more questions. This comes from Carrie,
Jason's girlfriend.
Are there any historical figures that you would call a role model? That's a tough one.
Oh, well, it's not like I've read everything about, like, John Adams or anything. I don't know how far back we're supposed to go when it comes to historical. It's not like I was like, oh, this jester in the 1600s really inspired me. So if I've got to think more recently, I guess everything would be historical at one point. There's a lot of people who inspire me, and God, I hate to sound like lame and give the most obvious answer. It's pretty incredible to me that Obama became president in the sense that he's not white.
Right.
And I'm not white.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, there's no limitations.
Right. Yeah.
As cheesy as that might sound, like, whether you're Democrat or Republican, it's a pretty amazing feat. Even if Jesse, or who else ran? Was it Jesse Jackson?
Yeah, I think Jesse Jackson.
Even if he would have made it, to me, that's incredible that that somebody, especially black, that had a history in this country, could make it to that extent. In the same light, Arnold Schwarzenegger is inspiring in the same sense, too. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of humor in his life. And,
talking about
a lot of mistakes and a lot of weird shit's happened to him, and the number one impression of all time, but like but it's really inspiring. Came from Austria, some dumb like meathead from Australia with Nazi relatives, comes over here and becomes, you know, world's strongest man, gets into movies, gets into politics. Like, and he, like, didn't speak English when he first started doing movies and stuff. It's hard not to be inspired by things like that.
It's true.
Even when he's just, like, you know, on...
a meathead.
Yeah. Maria, they're not my babies, I swear.
You're just imagining they look like me.
Yeah. I voted for him. And it's like, I knew he was Republican.
Yeah.
But I voted for him because he did support stem cell research, which is pretty important to me. It's, I feel, the secret for humans living forever. So, I mean, if there's one thing I could try to do in my life is not die.
Right.
So, yeah. stem cell research is a cool concept. And I know why Arnold liked it, because in all his movies, he's always cloned.
Right.
He's always getting cloned. So many Arnolds for all my babies. They need daddies. I voted for him. I didn't feel bad about it, because I was like, at least he has, like, a Kennedy he's married to. And, you know what really sold me? In his campaign, he did this thing where he went, if you vote for me, I will make a third Terminator movie. He did that.
Did he really say
that? He did that. And I voted for it because I follow up with the Terminator series.
Yeah.
I didn't see the newest one because he wasn't in it, but I did see it. And after this fucking, like, drama he's having with Maria, now he's like, I'm going to postpone all those acting things I said I was going to do to take care of family issues.
Yeah.
Fuck. Terminator I wanted to movie, see a Terminator it. With you in it.
Okay, one more question, one final question from Melissa. What's the most annoying sound in the world?
Am I supposed to do the thing from Dumb and Dumber? Because
I don't know. I didn't know if that came from somewhere or if that's just a random question.
I don't like catering to set up jokes.
Yeah.
But I could answer that honestly. And the thing I despise most, here's like the genuine mean part of me. I know everyone likes their own children. And I'm sure you could agree that your children that you have are great and wonderful. But everyone else's kids suck and they're horrible. Kids are awful. They're stupid, they're slow, they deliberately disobey knowing things are wrong, they take longer to teach simple things. Like, I have two puppies that get it. They, like, one of them's been around for less than a year and he gets it. He knows where to shit, when to shit, what to eat, when to eat, how not to annoy me, what not to jump on. Of kid, you could be, it could be 25 and it'll still not do the things you want it to do. Kids fucking suck. And the most annoying thing in the world, the most annoying sound in the world, is the sound of children singing. It's not nice at all. It is fucking obnoxious. It's like Kids Bop for me was like nails on a chalkboard up to a microphone. because their voices are undeveloped, awful, and the and fucking they're singing songs that are even worse. Like it'll be like Kids Bop fucking, you know, 52. Now children sing Green Day. It's like, great. I can't wait to hear Green Day as sung by these annoying fucking brats. So like I said,
so you must have enjoyed the Oscars, right? Didn't at the end of the Oscars this year, the whole chorus of kids came out.
Oh
and
my
sang
god,
it was the weirdest ending.
No,
ever.
I'm not gonna. I don't watch those parts. These Oscars and these So You I Think know. You Can Dance and all these shows have like about 30 seconds of content, and the rest of it is just filling with singing of some arbitrary person singing, someone dancing, someone telling you about how hard they practiced for what role or what part or what dance number they're going
to
do.
And to top it off, a fucking chorus of children.
Yeah, I didn't want to watch a fucking... I'll buy the DVD and watch the special features if I give that much of a shit. Just like, if it went for a 5-second screen of the results, that's good enough for me. Like, I don't even need to know who they're thinking, what they're wearing. But to add children to the mix is just awful.
They should be fucking ashamed of themselves.
Fuck children. The only time I'm happy when I see a child is when I'm at Disneyland and they're looking behind them to find their parents and they slam into a trash can. That's fucking beautiful. I love that moment. I love that moment because I have 3 seconds to help them. There's that gap, a 3-second gap where I could get in front of that kid in that trash can.
Right.
Or I could warn that kid. But no, I'm going to use that 3 seconds to tell my friend, hey, you don't want to miss this. And watch that kid fucking smack it. It's great. It's so great. And then you see either the overprotective parent just like pick him up, like the kid's not crying, but they pick him up and smother them until the kid starts crying. Because like, is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this how I'm supposed to be a brat? Or you'll see the good parent that'll just keep walking and the kid has to get up, shut the fuck up and keep walking still. Oh, that moment is beautiful. So anyway, that's my answer. I
think I'm going to have like a segment for you for every Schmimcast. Just Donish ranting about how much he hates children.
God, I hate children.
So,
children are awful.
So every week we come up with something else. Doesn't have to be children.
We could do a one-liner. It's just like, better than the sound of children. Yeah. And we just get a suggestion and why it's better than the sound of children. Children have no soothing noises. Could only hit those high notes.
I think we can rule you out for being a pedophile.
No. Fuck that. I'd never fuck a kid. They'd be awful at it. The sounds they make would be fucking annoying. Can you imagine if you're fucking like one of these like little boys and they're making girl noises? That would be annoying as shit. What
the hell is that noise?
And their teeth. What's wrong with children's teeth? That's
oh,
my
your,
phone.
Your phone's sorry. Vibrating. Do you have to take that?
No. I'm in the middle of an interview. Do you want to say hi to the people?
Who is it?
Oh, no. I don't want to be on this. Don't do this to me.
Who oh, okay. Is it?
All right.
All right. Bye.
All right. I'm just reading up on your interview. Don't say anything embarrassing. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Keep that.
That's definitely in.
Yeah, keep it. She's got a new phone and I haven't put the contact list in. I hate children. And their teeth. What's with their fucking teeth? Their teeth look like shit. It's like Shark Week on Discovery Channel with every kid. Can you imagine that around your dick? Fuck no.
I was going to ask you, when are you and Hannah going to have kids?
Fuck that. We have dogs. We have dogs. That's good enough. And they'll die soon. That's a thing. They'll just fucking die.
They'll die before you. That's true.
Of course they'll die before me. I'll make sure of that. But besides that, they're not going to be around forever. And they're not even annoying either. They stop barking. And even the sound
Except
of barking.
When they have diarrhea, right?
That's okay. Yeah, okay. My dog has diarrhea at the moment. And it's pretty obnoxious to clean. But it's so much better than a kid. Because the thing is, my dog knows where to diarrhea. Whereas a kid does not. I don't have to change no diapers. All I do is call Hannah and say, Hannah, there's a surprise for you when you get home. Then I find something to do outside the house for 30 minutes.
Oh, man. Well, is there anything else you want to cover before we sign off here? Or are we good? We
yes.
have definitely recorded plenty.
If I ever have any future children... And you listen to this.
Let's make sure we cover this because we haven't beat this to death
all right.
yet.
Don't be a fucking bitch. That's all I gotta say, all right? I do not have time for you or the patience. That's all. Now you got me in this mood. I'm all riled up. I'm gonna go hit a kid.
Well, at least you're not driving home. You rode your bike.
No, I rode my bike. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, just please add our Facebook. I don't know how else you would have got to this, but please add our Facebook if you haven't. I said this before, facebook.com/improv. I push that so much because I'm the one pretty much heading it. I try to contribute to this group, and if anything I can do is being on the internet too much, then... I mean, I try to help as far as that goes. All those funny pictures you see, that's all fucking me. I spend all day looking for funny things for you guys. And that's just so you look at our goddamn Facebook once in a while. Please feel free to comment, post pictures of you have taken to the show or anything you want, really. It's interactive and I'll respond to it really quickly. Or one of the other ones. It's not always me. It's not always me. Sometimes other people respond. But yeah, check out our Facebook. It's a fun place to be until our website, which is currently under construction. But Patrick has promised a beautiful relaunch that he's been working on for a very long time.
Yes.
This is true, actually. We have a show coming up at the Brea Improv.
In August,
this is our first time back in a while. Yeah, it's in August. Drew, Ryan, Nate, and Jamie, and Patrick.
Patrick.
Patrick, we have performing at the Brea Improv. Please come support them. I mean, we want to be able to come back.
Check it out. I think the ticket price is only $5. So
please come hungry and eat food and shit.
Yeah,
we haven't been back since 2008, so I think what we did wrong is that people didn't order shit because our our fan base is still in college.
Come hungry.
So just
save your money.
Spend it here, and when we get big, we'll remember you. I think
we will like your posts on the Facebook.
I'll remember,
page.
Yeah, just like I remember that one chick with the dog.
Well, you can always also see us every Friday and Saturday night at the Maverick Theater. We have a challenge match on Saturday, June 25th, with the Aladdin Genies.
Cool.
I've never heard of these guys before.
Oh, the Aladdin Genies. You know who they are, though,
been
right?
Around?
They're the Aladdin Genies. Are if
they're
you've
snake
been to Disney,
right?
Disney's California Adventure? No. If you've been to Disney's California Adventure, Disneyland, they're at the Hollywood backlot. There's an Aladdin musical that they do that Drew actually stage manages for. Awesome musical. If you haven't seen it, I mean, it's for kids. I mean, it's not gonna ever go up on Broadway. It's for kids, but the show has such great production value and it's so fun to watch, especially if, like myself, Aladdin's your favorite movie, there's another role model, by the way, a fucking Middle Eastern role model, the only Middle Eastern role model that is not like
in the history of Disney.
Yeah, that ends up being some homeless guy. Yeah, oh, that's one person I looked up to. But yeah, the genies from that show are very funny. They do a lot of improv. There's a lot of quick thinking, a lot of Robin Williams style, like, oh, look at him here, it's a Wizard of Oz. There's a little guy saying, blah, blah, blah. You know,
I'm
like that.
Dressed up like an old woman.
Yeah, you know, they've got these quick jokes and stuff. Oh, dressed up like an old woman. Hong Kong, hey, cured your cancer. You know, like just shitty, like, no, but they do it. They do kind of the same kind of thing. Not that their comedy is shitty, but three of them are going to play improv. Yes. I thought it'd be really funny as if three of us dressed up like Aladdin, but I would have loved to be in that show or a lot of shows this summer. Unfortunately, you're not going to be seeing me too much, or you're going to be seeing me a lot this summer. And the reason I say that is because due to scheduling conflicts, I'm not actually scheduled any day this entire summer, but I did say that if anyone drops out, I would like to take their show.
You were the automatic replacement.
With how much that actually happens, I'm probably going to be in every single show.
Exactly. We also have July 2nd and August 6th. We're challenging the All Puppet Players again. Those tend to be very funny shows. And starting July 8th, we have our summer countdown. So the shows are going to be A through Z improv games of improv schmimprov. So you have that to look forward to.
That is very cool because there's a lot of games that we just never play.
Yeah.
Some games are like one-time things and you can't play them again purposely.
Right.
But to be forced to have to play them justifies it, you know? Like, I can't say I want to play Grabbing Eagles because that's not fair. The game is basically you act like eagles and fly through the audience while the audience grabs you.
Yeah.
That's not improv by any
means.
That'll
be great every week, I'm sure.
But when we get to G and you have to do that game...
Yeah.
And you have no choice, that's going to be fucking funny.
That's fun.
Because when we're forced into situations, that's much funnier.
And then at the Maverick, we have Chicago playing every Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday matinees through July 30th. Then, as we mentioned, Get Smart opens August 17th through September 17th. Then Night of the Living Dead, where you can see Donish as a zombie, plays September 23rd through November
4th. You could also see Ryan in that show.
Yeah, Ryan
you'll
Clark,
see Nick McGee in that show.
I tend to end up at the end, usually.
He's got this middle part, too. The TV.
When I don't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Awesome show,
so,
man.
If you don't see it, though, in all the shows in October, when you see me and Ryan come on stage all bloody, please understand.
It wasn't our day job. It was just a zombie show.
Yeah.
And then after that is Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, December 2nd through the 23rd, and The Book of Mormon the musical all year. That's all we're doing. No.
We're doing that? Man.
I'm kidding.
Man, I want to see
that. Would
see
be cool,
that.
Though.
I bet that would be cool.
It's
already got amazing reviews.
Yeah.
I mean, even I'm talking about it. The Donish from Shrimbrov is talking about it.
Holy shit, it must be good. Book a flight to New York. Well, and that I hear Amber saying that we have to leave.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there's Amber taking us away
Amber.
From fun.
Fuck, you ruin everything.
There's about chicks about to make out.
We're just getting to the good part of the episode. Fucking Amber.
I guess we'll just cut up this interview.
Well, thank you very much, Donish, for coming and doing this. It's been a pleasure. I've learned a lot, I had a lot of fun. It was enjoyable, and we have probably the longest episode ever. But it's great, man.
Really? You're not going to cut a lot of this?
What do you want me to cut?
The unfunny parts.
But those are interesting. People might want to know about those parts.
All right, then keep it all. Leave an extended version.
Let's just not cut anything. That makes my life a lot easier.
All right, fuck it. I could, if you're worried about hits, I'll listen to myself talk over and over again.
Sweet.
So if you want to just make this long and extended, I will give you all the hits.
Excellent.
And plus, we got all the people, my family in Iran, who like are huge fans of everything I do here.
Awesome. Because so we're going to get a bunch of hits from Iran.
Probably. I don't know. They probably think that it's way bigger deal than it. I mean, it's a huge deal. And this, just so you guys know, is a famous radio station I'm on.
That's right.
And I'm getting paid $1 million, as usual, an hour. You know what's funny? In Turkey, they call every $1 bill $1 million, and the president has changed that recently. It used to be lire. They changed it to $1 million because they want their money to sound like more.
It sounds like it's more than
so
it is.
So you'll have $5 million, and you can't get a Big Mac. All right. Amber's getting pissed.
All right, man. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Take it easy, everybody. See you next episode.
Go sports teams!
Go sports!
Thank you for listening to Schmimcast. Remember, for the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. You can email us at schmimcast@aol.com and hit us up on Twitter at Schmimcast. It's S-H-M-I-M-C-A-S-T. That's twitter.com/schmimcast. And now,
I wanna fuck you in the ass.
Cheerio.
And now, this show must go, so... What? This show must go, and so the show is over. Was I supposed to do that at the end? Okay. Are you recording right now? Are you recording right now? Are you recording right now? You can hear the flame from Justin's asshole. He got through. And yeah, he got through.
That's awesome.